Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, which means it's time to Ask Ross, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA with an amazing offer for new customers. You bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5, any NBA team to win their game, and you win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. As I said, this is time for Ask Ross. I'm Jim Galante. He's Ross Tucker. He's the man who will answer all of your questions. At the end, we'll pick a best question, and you will win the KSN sweatshirt. If you want to send a question, download our app, Keystone Sports. There's a great Ask Ross button there. You ready to go, Ross?
Always.
All right, let's start with Jay from Delaware. He corrected me one time on the pronunciation. I think it's Lewis, Delaware, L-E-W-E-S. He says, hey, Ross, avid listener, love your analysis. If Penn State hasn't been able to run the ball all year, why haven't they tried to trot out 27 offensive linemen and give that a go?
Basically just referencing what Illinois did and saying, exactly. Why don't they try that? Because Illinois had success with it.
Yep.
I mean, I guess at this point they could try something like that, but that's not really the answer. The thing that's frustrating is with their receiving core, and with Clifford playing well until this past game, they really should be able to run it better. You know, I mean, people should be afraid of their receivers, so they should be getting light boxes, so they should be able to run it better than they have to this point. That's the part that's probably as frustrating as anything.
I know, Ross, we've talked about this week after week. Is there any specific answer, or is it the offensive linemen aren't doing the job, the tight ends aren't doing the job, the running backs aren't doing their job? Is that truly the case? Everybody's part of the problem?
Yeah, nobody ever wants to hear that because you want to have one thing to put your finger on. But anytime you're struggling in the run game, it's always a combination of things. O-line's not playing well enough. The backs, I'm not very impressed by them, to be honest with you. They don't get a whole lot more than what's there. Go back and watch the runs and tell me when they get more yards than you think they should get on the play. That's what I would encourage you to do. They're not doing nearly well enough blocking at the tight end and wide receiver positions. I see safeties making a lot of tackles because the receivers won't block them. I see the tight ends not doing very well. And it really compounds things if the opposition is not afraid of the quarterback run.
Okay, let's go to Stan in Tennessee. He says, Ross, responding to a question about the O-line difficulties at his Tuesday press conference, Coach Franklin said the problem was lack of physicality and inability to get a push. So what's the root cause of that? Is it strength and conditioning shortfall? Is it poor technique and scheme? Is it lack of athleticism among all those recruits? Or combination of all of the above?
You know, it's a combination, but I would say in general, I am disappointed in the tenacity or lack thereof that the offensive line plays with. I would like to see them be a little nastier. In fact, be a lot nastier than they are. They kind of lack that. Part of me thinks that that's like the era we're in now with the premium being on athleticism and, you know, so many RPOs and all that stuff. So I suppose I understand that a little bit, but I don't know, Jim. I can only speak for myself. I never thought blocking people was fun. Like, just blocking someone, okay, I blocked him. Like, the fun part of it was trying to physically punish somebody, trying to hurt them, not injure them. You're never looking at someone to get a serious injury, but you want to hit them so hard that it hurts them. You want to knock them down on the ground. You want them to be mentally and physically defeated, fatigued, exhausted by the pounding that they've taken from you. And that's kind of how Penn State used to play way back in the day, but they haven't played that way more recently. And I would like to see more finishing. I would like to see these guys finish their blocks more than they do. They lack a bully. They need a bully and really a couple of them up front, if you ask me.
It's interesting you say that, Russ, because over the years, how often have you complimented, say, C.J. Thorpe as having that as part of his DNA? He would finish the block and...
It would be nice if they could get a guy that could block people that had Thorpe's mentality. Thorpe was a home run hitter. He either would get after you or he would totally whiff. But they do need guys that bring that element.
Gotcha. All right, next up. I usually don't give last names, but I will this time. This is Eric Hawkinsmith. Is that a familiar name to you there, Ross? Apparently not related to our buddy Dustin, but Eric is from Ashburn, Virginia, and says, love your work, Ross. I would love for James Franklin to stay, but if he were to leave, would you think there would be a chance that Matt Rhule would leave the Panthers to come back to his alma mater?
No. I would say virtually no chance, unless after 2 years in Carolina, Matt Rhule doesn't see a path for them to get a quarterback and realizes he's probably a year away from getting fired. That would be the only thing, is that maybe Matt Rhule would say, you know what, let me go ahead and get ahead of this thing and get a new job now before I get fired, because they don't usually give you more than 3 years in the NFL if you're not making the playoffs. Next year would be his third year. But I think he'll think that, hey, we'll get a quarterback somehow and McCaffrey will be healthy. So I think that's unlikely.
Interestingly enough, I just read this week article, Ross, that Matt Rhule has emerged as a potential candidate for either the LSU or USC job, with some rumors that he may not be happy at Carolina. All right, next up is Jimmy in Forest City. A quick note on Jimmy, Ross. He also sent a note saying, like the story a couple weeks ago, my roommate, the nuclear engineer, and I talked about carrying a box of cards. Jimmy said, well, he could definitely relate to that because he was a nuke engineer from that era. It turns out he's also friends with my former college roommate. So there's the small world for you. But he says, wow. Most optimistic Penn State fans viewed the Nittany Lions as the number two team in the nation going into the last weekend, knowing that we would have beaten Iowa if Sean Clifford didn't get hurt. Everyone wonders how we could have lost to 2-5 Illinois. Do you put this loss on the coaching staff? Do they deserve an F grade?
I do put the loss on the coaching staff. Now, I will say this. You know, the players still need to play better than they did. That does not absolve the players. I didn't see as much fire in those guys as I would like to see at all. They felt flat. Jim, I'm surprised at home they would be flat like that. I don't think they were looking ahead to Ohio State. I don't know if it's because they were playing Illinois or the weather or whatever, but they looked flat, and I thought it was unacceptable. Right from the start, Jim, right from the start, Illinois was running the ball down their throat, and Penn State was doing three and outs and not looking good. I mean, they got off to a terrible, terrible start.
And that kind of goes back to they started the game trying to run the ball and couldn't establish it, and that seemed to set the tone for the rest of the game. Next up is Andrew from San Marcos, California, originally from Carlisle. He says, hello, Ross and team. What should the staff be doing with their bye weeks? And is something broken? I believe this is the third straight loss after a bye, and they have not played well in these games. Thanks so much. Love the show.
Well, they do a couple things. One is they obviously get the guys that are banged up healthy. They prepare for the next opponent. But also a lot of times they'll do a self-scout, you know, a self-scout to kind of see where they're at and ways they can improve or get better. Sometimes the defense will scout the offense and vice versa for things that they pick up on. And, man, whatever they came away with, Jim, it certainly didn't work, right? I mean, it certainly did not help them. Whatever they talked about, whatever they came up with during the bye week, clearly not good enough.
There's another statistic going around about how I think a bigger concern, Ross, isn't just how poorly they play after a bye, but it seems like they play poorly after a loss. And if you go through their history, even, you know, after losing to Ohio State twice, they lost to Michigan State. Even some games where they've lost and won the next game, they barely escaped with the win. They had close games with Temple and Indiana when they should have played much better. Is there something that happens psychologically to a team after a loss? And is there something more that James Franklin could be doing about that?
It's a great question, Jim. And I think especially in college football, with every loss being so impactful. And, you know, everybody, the goal is college football playoff. And as soon as you lose one game, you start to worry about that. You start to wonder about that if you still have a great chance to play in the college football playoff. I think that's a very fair assessment. It does feel like they've played poorly off of losses.
Yes, and especially considering Franklin has his 1-0 mantra, just worry about the next game. And ironically, at his press conference, he kept misspeaking and saying Illinois instead of Ohio State. Real quick, Ben in Florida says, have you noticed in some of these shocking losses that Franklin's often standing motionless with mouth closed on the sideline, rarely showing emotion? Is that a factor at all?
That doesn't bother me. I mean, if they're having success, they say he's stoic and focused and unflappable. If they lose the game, they say he lacks emotion. That stuff is meaningless to me.
All right, that is it for quarter number three. Stick around. We'll announce our winner in quarter number four when Andrew P. Shea returns.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, has an amazing offer for new customers. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.